The Sitka Advisory Committee, or AC as it's known, is one of 84 similar fish and game committees throughout the state. Its primary purpose is to advise the Department of Fish and Game on matters relevant to, well, fish and game. Usually, this means sifting through dozens of allocation and harvest proposals bound for the state's two major wildlife governing boards. That would be the Board of Fish and the Board of Game. But at the November meeting of the Sitka AC, instead of hearing crusty fishermen argue for an increased harvest limit or a change in an area boundary, the committee took testimony from Robin Masterman, a Mount Edgecombe High School student from Togiak in Bristol Bay. Masterman explained how climate change was affecting her family's way of life. She gave several examples, like this one.
And my grandparents and a bunch of my aunts and uncles rely on the berries that we pick on the tundra for food. But in the past few years, there haven't been as many berries growing because there's not enough runoff from the mountains, which comes from the snow in the winter.
Masterman was one of several students present from the Mount Edgecombe Environmental Group who urged the Sitka AC to adopt a resolution in support of recent action by the Alaska Federation of Natives declaring a climate emergency. Another of her classmates spoke about last summer's two-week stretch in Tok when temperatures climbed to 90 degrees. The Mount Edgecombe students were backed by Sitka High's Climate Action Group. One of their representatives, sophomore Darby Osborne, also spoke.
I mean, even in Sitka, we've been seeing the changes. Alaska as a whole is warming at twice the rate of other countries. And I mean, even in my short time living in Sitka, I've seen the winters disappearing. I remember growing up and having it snow on my birthday, and that simply doesn't happen anymore.
Osborne said that climate change had been politicized and that it was time to move past that debate, accept the science, and initiate drastic action. But did that argument really apply to the Sitka Advisory Committee? Osborne suggested that it did.
And the future and sustainability of our planet is what we should put before anything else.
The presence of students at the AC meeting wasn't a total surprise. Longtime AC member Eric Jordan, a commercial salmon troller based in Sitka, had been working on his own draft resolution to present to the committee. Coordinating with the student activists struck him as a reasonable approach.
From the loss of birds to the loss of little feed fish, to the warming temperatures that we're seeing as we travel around, to every time we look at the ice fields back here, we have a dramatic climate. Well, the word in these resolutions is emergency.
Other members agreed, and most of the remaining work was to figure out how to merge the students' ideas with Jordan's draft. There was little discussion on whether climate change fell within the purview of the Sitka AC. Member Steve Ramp said he called board support in Juneau to double check and was given the go-ahead.
One of the purposes of our committee is to provide a local forum for fish and wildlife conservation and use, including matters relating to habitat. And this is right in there, so I'm fully in support of us taking this up.
The AC's interests in habitat came into play again later in the evening when the committee considered a second resolution, this one all its own, to support the no-action alternative of Alaska's proposed exemption from the 2001 U.S. Forest Service roadless rule. The three-page resolution is a litany of reasons why opening the last remaining areas of old-growth forests in the Tongass is harmful to the way of life in southeast Alaska and is actively opposed by a large majority of residents. As with the climate emergency resolution, there was little debate about whether the state Fish and Game Advisory Committee had the right to chime in on a federal policy. Member Eric Jordan again pointed out that the AC had long felt an obligation to take positions on policy matters, state or federal, if those matters had an impact on the area's wildlife resources. The roadless resolution also passed unanimously. Jordan commended his fellow members.
I served with Larry Calvin and Mo Johnson Sr. and a lot of other people, Richard Nelson, who just passed, who were on this committee, who really fought to protect the environment. They would have been so proud to have been part of this committee and us working together on these issues tonight.
The Sitka AC is comprised of 17 members. It is nonpartisan. 14 members were present for the November meeting. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.